Okay, thanks so much. We are so excited you're celebrating with us today. I'm going to just share with you some more stories as we go through, and we can never highlight all the things that we're doing, but we're excited about what God has in store. We did something Thursday night. We had some 40-plus volunteers. Thank you who volunteer. I want to say especially Luke and Hillary kind of took this thing and made this happen, and we had Annie F. Downs and Carlos Whitaker here, and it was just jam-packed. She was as funny as can be. They had a great message about what it means to really reach out and to love and to share Christ with others. It was a really wonderful time together. So we enjoyed doing that, and we look forward to more of those kind of things here in the coming year. One of the things I wanted to share with you is that we have been in the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians for the last year, and I wanted to celebrate one message 33 times in this six-chapter letter that Paul wrote. He says, in Christ, or in the Lord. Something along those lines. He'll just say, in Christ, in Christ. And he talks about our identity. He just says, you need to know that Jesus loved you so much that he actually, for you, paid the price of all your sins, taken it all away, past, present, and future. And he wants you to know that he wants to spend life with you and walk with you throughout your life. Whatever you may be facing, whatever may be going on in your life, he wants to be a part of your life. And he comes without any more judgment because it's been taken on the cross. But here's what you need to know. That message is so clear. The identity that you have is that you, who you are in Jesus. It's who you are and then whose you are. And the message is basically this. You're loved. You are loved. And then as he goes on, he said there's another message, not just your identity, your purpose. He doesn't just tell you you're loved. He tells you that you were created for a purpose, and he calls you to be engaged as you walk with Jesus, allowing him and his spirit through you to touch the lives of others. And everyone has a purpose and a calling, some more complicated or more exposure to others, and some quietly in the background. But every one of us has a purpose. We're told that in the Word of God, in the Bible. So, as we were planning this service and putting things together, I had an opportunity to go on a walk with a friend of mine who is a part of this congregation, and actually shared back on August 11, 2019, and shared a story of what God had done in his life. And he took that time. So we're kind of going to go forward to June 11th now to 2023, 4 years forward. But let me just share with you, and Ron, if you would want to come up. This is going to be really hard for me to read my notes because I spilled all this water on them. So you may have to help me out from time to time. But back in 2019, Ron, you came up here and I did a very similar thing with you. You shared with us that God had given you a dream back in 2005. But around that time, you also were in a place where you had gone before, when you grew up in a church where you didn't hear much about Bible or reading the Bible. But because of what was going on in your brother's life and the cancer and his impending death, you decided to grab a Bible, open it up randomly, which is, I don't always tell people to do that, but you randomly opened it up and God led you to a passage that called you to kind of just change your life and allow God to start working in your life. You opened your life to God to do what he had called you to do and what he purposed you to do. And at that time, you were working in the food industry at General Mills. And you had seen, as you worked with small business owners, especially first with restaurants, you saw all the waste. Like food, when it's not used, I mean good food, not even eaten, touched, or anything, gets trashed. And you were just kind of burdened with that. And you worked with small business owners, you worked with Caring and Sharing Hands, where you gave away food, also did Second Harvest and things such as that. And God placed a desire in your heart to make a difference around this whole food industry, especially all the stuff that was being thrown out. How could you kind of repurpose that and use that? I am not going to go into that story because that story in itself is pretty amazing. That's why I had him here in 2019. But as you went through that whole process and you saw God begin to work, he kind of led you to a group called Meal Connect, which is kind of a Meals on Wheels meets Uber. And God created this. You walked down the office one day to a guy. You'd been trying to figure out how do you keep the food fresh. And then you found out that Google had invested millions of dollars. And I mean, the story's so cool. But here's where we're going to start. 2019, God was doing things. People from our church were helping, distributing food to people who needed it from a restaurant that was going to not trash it any longer. And then 2020 hit. So do you want to take us from 2020 on?
I certainly would. So thank you for asking for me to share the story. That Bible verse that came up, and that was actually the year 2005, I'd love to say that it was because I just was sparked by the Holy Spirit, and actually it was because I was sparked by anger. My brother had cancer. I grabbed the Bible, I threw it open, and I pointed, and I said, "Why? Tell me why." And it was Proverbs 24:16, "For the righteous will fall seven times and rise again." And I shared that with my brother on that day, and over the next 6 years, our faith grew. And it was in 2010, after his seventh battle, that he did pass away. But it was seven times. And I learned to believe in the Word and the living Word. And that changed my life. Well, you know, I'm sharing a story today that's actually a funny story. I'm glad that it's that and not based like the other one.
We're not going to go down.
Okay. Yeah, so, and Kevin asked, you know, I shared this story, and he said, "You need to come and share it here." And it wasn't until I prepared for today that I realized there's another connection. In the time I shared in 2019, the number 7 popped up in that one, and now this one is about coincidental holy moments, and it happened to be 7 again. God's perfect plan, that's what 7 is. And so I feel that this story I'm going to share with you, it only can be him. It has nothing to do with me. But it has to do with one other group, and some may be here today, and that's my Bible study group. The community Bible study group that meets in Medina on Monday nights. Thank you, brothers, for being me in the Word every single day, because that's why I have this story to share. And it's my hope that maybe I inspire others to join, and I guess maybe if I'm not inspirational, I still would encourage you to join a Bible study group. So anyways, Kevin mentioned what happened since COVID.
Yeah, you hit COVID.
So anyways, we had 6 or 7 volunteers. We were doing 1,000 meals a week. Things were going great. COVID hit. The restaurant shut down. The agencies we're delivering to would not allow volunteers in for good reasons. And it disappeared. It went away. And really, it's just been this year that it's restarted back up, but we're starting from ground zero. The other thing that happened is I had a food bank call me up in the middle of this and said, "We just want to let you know we don't want you sharing your faith with the donor or the agencies anymore." And I'm not a very good listener, so I've really struggled with that. But I've prayed for 4 years that we find Christ-centered food organizations and that we find more donors. Okay, so the story begins this year, March 29th. This is the first holy moment, and it started with a fight with my wife. She is doing daycare for our 3 grandkids, and she was with them all day, and she walked in the door, and I don't pick up on cues like she's tired and doesn't want to talk. So I said, "We have the bathroom remodel. I need you to pick out the tile material, and I need you to pick out the tile layout." And so she came upstairs. She picked the most expensive material and the most labor layout you could have. And out of my mouth came the words, "Maybe we should just knock down the house because it might be easier and less expensive."
Wow.
And if anyone out there thinks that sarcasm is the 6th love language, it is not.
That is yours. Okay.
So 24 hours, we didn't talk. That was the beginning of this process. So how does this turn into a good story?
Let's see.
It's next morning, community Bible study. I open up, and I kid you not, we're in James chapter 3, and the title of my study is Untamed Tongues. I was in conviction throughout the whole story and my study, and it got to the end. There's little personal notes, and I said to myself, provide a forgiveness peace offering. And it was 10 in the morning. Luckily, we had some food delivery, so thank God for that.
So you're going to your wife with the peace
offering. Yep, so okay. I got to give a peace offering. And then in addition to doing a peace offering, I'm like, I got someone coming over to work on the kitchen. There's not going to be any time. So in my mind, what could I do at this time of the day? And out of nowhere came the name Chick-fil-A. I've never eaten there. I didn't know where they were. I knew nothing about them. But in the recesses of my mind, I think I remember Sharon saying something about they have God's chicken and she loves it. So I took that as a Holy Spirit moment number one. I ran to Chick-fil-A, got there at 10:30, got up and looked at the menu, and there's the chicken sandwich. That's got to be God's chicken sandwich. So I ordered it. And I got this big long pause. And what I got a response was, we are not serving lunch right now. I'm like, okay, this peace offering, I guess it wasn't meant to me. I looked at the menu and I saw there was a biscuit and I ordered the biscuit sandwich and I drove up to the counter in my mind going, it's second fiddle. It's never going to work as a peace offering. I was grumbling to myself and out walks the cashier, goes past the two cars in front of me and knocks on my window and I roll it down. He said, sir, we are out of biscuits today. So I'm like, we're off the rails now. This isn't going to happen. And another thing popped in my head and out my mouth that I'm usually not this rude, but I said to him, I guess you're serving lunch then, aren't you? And he said, I guess we are. My chicken sandwich was back on order, thank God. So you might be thinking that wasn't a holy moment, but God's got a sense of humor, and he likes a slow build because I'm kind of slow myself. So I pull up, I'm second in line, and out comes another person. Knocks on my window, I roll it down, and he gives me two free meal cards. Now, I don't count that as a holy moment, I kind of get why that probably happened. But what happened next is he goes, we're really sorry, but we're having trouble with biscuits. I sold 33 years at General Mills, and guess what my number one item was I sold? Biscuits.
Yeah, amen. Holy moment.
I know more about biscuits than anyone in probably the world, and I told him about the fat technology, freezer oven technology, how the heat lamps would work. He was pretty thankful, and he goes, but that still didn't solve all my problems. And I'm like, why is that? He goes, because sometimes we make too many, and I got a freezer full of food, and we're new, and we don't know where to get rid of it. And if God does not have a sense of humor, he was up there laughing. I'm like, so I'm the biscuit, you know, knowledge king, and I also know some food waste information. I'm like, so how would you like to have that food go to North Minneapolis Women's Shelter? How do you like your freezer to be empty this week, and how would you like a tax donation receipt for it? His jaw dropped, and he goes, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, I can do it this week. So you think, you know, that's, I think, holy moments three and four, and then he goes, and here's my business card. It wasn't the cashier, it wasn't the owner, it wasn't the manager, it was the Chick-fil-A community engagement director that God put me in front of that day. They're a Christ-centered organization, they have a person who's tried to help the community, and he's at my door, and I'm talking to him. So we're up to holy moment number six, and if you think it ends there, it doesn't, because the perfect number is seven. I got home, I got a hold of my food bank that told me I'm not supposed to share my faith. I got their protocols on food safety. I sent it to Chick-fil-A. They sent it to corporate, and corporate came back and said, you know, we'd like to follow our own food protocol. Here's an organization to use. Like, okay, 33 years in food, and I've never heard of this organization. I look up their website, and up pops their mission statement, and it says, quote, Jesus told his disciples, gather up all that's left and waste nothing. A Christ-based organization. You can't make this stuff up. A fight with your wife and Chick-fil-A. It's absolutely amazing. And so here we are. We're, I think, 10 weeks later. We've delivered probably 3,500 meals into North Minneapolis of God's chicken. And Sherry did accept my peace offering. Praise the Lord.
You know, yeah, that's really, truly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. I know that's a God thing. And, you know, I think it's so funny. I walked with you over the last few years, and I remember you were just frustrated trying to figure out, isn't there any organization where I can give the food and tell them about the real food, Christ? Yeah. And then God did that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you want to just share just a minute or so what your key takeaways were from all of this.
First one was, maybe I should listen to my wife. but that truly, I think being in the Word every day, and it's not having to read the entire Bible or a whole chapter. It could be two words, untamed tongues. It could be a verse, you know, fall down seven times and rise again. It's just being it every day. But I think it's this number seven that popped up. It's God's will. Mm-hmm. It's His timing. It's His perfection. And I think when I'm praying, just the whole idea of being patient, understanding, and being expectant, it's going to be answered, but it's going to be answered on His time. And I think that's probably the most important takeaway I had.
Thank you. Thank you. Man, thank you. Ron, appreciate it.